And may the Blessed Trinity bless and keep us even as we seek Him and seek to glorify Him. Amen. We are in a teaching series right now where we've spent time looking at one book of the Bible this past summer, but now we're looking at one particular prayer, the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of as if we're cracking our catechisms open and reviewing this. One person in our Bible class, when we were talking about this topic, said, you know, it's the one prayer we probably all have memorized. And when you memorize something, you can sometimes just sort of say it without really thinking. And so this whole next several weeks where we're doing this is us slowing down and really thinking through, meditating as God's word guides us to do. You know, meditate on my word, that we take it into our hearts and we truly let it bless us. And we're on the phrase today, we've done our Father who art in heaven, and we're on the phrase, hallowed be thy name. Now, just a little tiny backup. I want to remind you, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. His disciples came to him in Luke chapter 11, and they said, teach us how to pray. Just like John's disciples taught John taught his disciples. So Jesus, yes, he taught us a prayer which we've memorized and we've used and Christians around the world use, but it was also how to pray. And it's the idea behind each of the phrases that I think can be most helpful for us as we're really exploring this. Now, like for example, well, before I dig into where it kind of going backwards, let me just sort of ask you, what is your prayer life like? We've been learning this is not just a prayer, but how to pray. So, you know, here's just a quick check-in. What's your prayer life like? What I mean by that is, you know, we can look at the Lord's Prayer. We have this guidance, right? We have the guidance where he says he's our Father, and we have that reminder then that he is the God of the universe, is inviting us to have a close, loving relationship with himself, right? He's offering that to us. He's inviting us to come and draw close to him. So we've got that picture there on our next slide of the fathers holding the child's hand. Our prayers are to a Father who knows us and who loves us, right? So that's where we were as we started. Then the second phrase thing we spent on last week was, who art in heaven? And this was the reminder for us that God sees from that higher perspective and offers that higher perspective to us. So the God who has that higher perspective and who has the power to help us in all of those things is the God who's inviting us to pray. We're invited to pray to him. And that brings me back to this question, right? What's your prayer life like? What I mean by that is it sort of like, Lord, please give me a close parking space. Or, God, can you help me get through this performance review at work? Or, Lord, heal my sick friend. You know, in and of themselves, these prayers are fine, aren't they? But we are invited in this prayer, and we're in particular invited in this phrase, to not just bring our requests to God, but to bring our reverence. Hallowed, to make holy. Holy and lifted up high, set apart, special, important. Whatever phrase you want to use. I mentioned and joked with the children in the message that we have, you know, and you probably, a lot of you do too, you have fine china plates you bring out for special occasions. At Christmas time, we even have fine china plates that are just for Christmas. It's amazing to me. We have this matching set of plates for 12 people that only gets used one day out of the year. Those are, in that aspect, they're very holy plates, because they are set apart for that special purpose. And God is looking for us. You know, we can call on all different kinds of people, get all kinds of different help. You can call Mattress Mac if you need some furniture, right? You can dial up Google, you know, on your internet, on your phone or on your computer, whatever it is, and get help there. We can call out to a friend, to a family member, etc. But God is inviting that when we call out to him, it isn't just with our requests, it's with our reverence. The one who is our Father, the one who has that higher perspective and power and longs to use it all on our behalf because he loves us, is looking for and seeking for us to revere him, to consider him holy and special and set apart. Moses had that experience in our Old Testament reading, right? He saw this thing that, you know, was very unusual, a bush that was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. So he turned aside. He turned from his everyday task to focus and say, I'm going to go see about this. That was him giving reverence to God. And then even further, when God speaks to him out of the bush, Moses is told, take off your sandals because this is a special place. This is a set-apart moment for an encounter that you and I are going to have. And I just wonder how many of us rush into our prayers. Parking places, sick friends, need help with performance reviews. We come with our requests and we miss this opportunity for reverence. This opportunity to come, this God who is the three in one, who is holy, is an all-powerful Father, not just a heavenly Amazon who's going to deliver, and quick delivery and all kinds of guaranteed results. This Holy One came to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Colossians 1, verse 22 from our epistle reading captures that idea. I want to read it to you. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you as holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusations. He made you holy. And He wants you and I to continue on in holiness. He made us holy through His Son, and it cost so much. Jesus gave His life, humbled Himself, and to come and take on our flesh and then to take on our sins on the cross as He died and then rose again to prove His great holiness. He indeed glorified His name, as the gospel reading was hinting at, right? The idea, I'm troubled by this moment. But He made you and I holy through that whole experience. Colossians 1 says we are dear, holy and dearly loved children of God. So we're called to continue in holiness. Continue realizing, I am special in God's sight. I've been set apart for a purpose. He gave His grace to me, and He wants me, as we hear other times Jesus saying, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. He is looking for me to fulfill a special role in His purpose and in His plan among the people that I live with. The Israelites were in slavery. And they were called to be God's holy people, chosen and sent to this special land. Did God do that just because, He had nothing else to do? Did He do it because somehow, some way, the Israelites had maybe suffered more than anyone else, or somehow their DNA was superior to all the rest of ours? No. He did it because He chose to put them at a place which at that time in the world was the crossroads to where everything passed. It's sort of like the equivalent of 59 and 290 and I-10 sort of all coming together in one place. And God said, I know everybody in the civilized world has to pass through this place, and that's where I'm going to put my people. So when the world comes through to trade or to teach or to learn or do anything, they will see what it's like when people who I have made holy and who are living in a holy, loving, reverent relationship with me, how they are different, and others will want what they have. That's why He makes you and I holy. Holy so we could be in heaven with Him, yes, one day. But holy so here and now we can be a hint of heaven. You and I can be the burning bushes that others see and they turn aside to learn more about it. It's reinforcing this relationship we have. And when you and I pray in reverence and glorify the name of God, it's helping us remember that God has made His name holy in us before, and He'll do it again, right? He made us holy, so we're called to continue on in that. Well, then the big question is how? How exactly do we hallow His name or make His name holy, right? How do we go about that? I think there's a lot of ways. One, when we're baptized into God's name, right? We're literally, His name is placed on us. Then as we go out, as we're that salt and light and everything else, then we're showing love and mercy to our neighbors. We're hallowing God's name. That's in the catechism, which our confession will be based on. It talks about that idea. But since Jesus is teaching us about prayer in this, I'll say that idea of what it means for us to hallow God's name in the wider context. Say that for another teaching series. Today, I just want to concentrate on how we make His name holy in our prayers, because that's what Jesus was teaching about. First, how do we do it? We seek God first. We seek him first. Think about what you do when you go to solve some problems. Think about where you go to get answers for things. Now, if you want to know how many homers Jose Altuve has hit for the Astros in 2019, go to Google, all right? By all means, do it. I'm not going to tell you how many it is. I did it this morning. We'll see I'm sure someone's going to do it, right? But when you face a real question, not just a trivia, how about instead of Googling that, how about we go to God first in prayer? God, I am coming to you because you're a father who loves me. You have the higher perspective than I can possibly have. You've seen this problem before in someone else's life. And I come to you and I seek you first. We seek him first. We seek his wisdom and his guidance. And just for a moment, when we think about that, this is not an ego trip for God. This is not some secret Christian way that we schmooze our way with the Creator, right? That if we call on him first and we call on him in a reverent way, that somehow, some way, oh, well, we've got his attention more so than the other 7 billion people living in the world, and we'll get our request granted. You know, some comedians have joked about that and said that if they come up with the floweriest, most impressive prayers, they'll really get God's attention. I remember one of them that stood out in my mind. Oh God, you are so big, so really, really huge. We're all really impressed down here. This isn't about schmoozing him, but it is about saying, you're the Father who loved me. You are the one that has a higher perspective. You are holy in and of yourself. And I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to seek you and remind you. And when I remind you, I'll be really reminding myself, you're holy. You're higher. You're greater. You're stronger. So I'll seek you. Secondly, I suggest we seek him in times of trouble. You know, here's Jesus. If you need an example of this, here is Jesus in a troubling time. He's about to go to the cross. John 13 is where the corner turns in. It says, from that moment on, when he's washing the disciples' feet, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's on his trials and beating and scourging, and then to the cross for our sins. This is the last night before all that starts, when he has this talk in John 12, our gospel reading. And there in John 12, he said it, and I want to read it for you again, so you hear the struggle Jesus is going through. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. See, Jesus is bothered. He's got a problem. He's deeply troubled. And so he's about to, what kind of prayer should I pray? Should I pray a prayer, Father, save me from this? Get me out of this trouble? He goes on. And Jesus goes on and he continues, no, it was actually for this very reason that I came to this hour. So here's his prayer. Father, glorify your name. Maybe another way to say that is, Father, be holy through me, through what I'm about to do, through what I'm about to go through. And so when Jesus prays that, isn't he really saying what he taught us to say in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name, glorify your name. It's the same thing. God already sees your trouble. He sees the difficulty. He already knows it. God told Moses that. I've seen the trouble that my people are going through. He sees it. He knows. So when we come with a troubled heart, when we come in prayer, we can say, Father, I know you love me. Father, I know you can see this problem I'm going through. And I ask that you show me a way through this that will glorify your name. Show me the way to go through this situation. Show me your perspective. Give me either grace to endure it or give me a way out of deliverance like you did for the Israelites. But God, I trust you. And holy is your name. You are the God who has rescued before. You are the God that delivered Jesus even through death. You are the God that delivered your people, the Israelites. You are the God who can and will bring me through. I glorify your name. He's already seen the trouble that we're facing, so we revere him. God will glorify himself in our lives when we seek him this way. And he'll do it by glorifying those who glorify him. He'll do it as we are honoring him and trusting him. And we're not saying that all the problem, just we've magically made the problem go away. But we are saying, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you to answer me and to help me, and you'll glorify us. So we ask our loving God to hear us, and we make him holy in our prayers when we come with reverence. May God help us do that this day and always.